I just really want to say how much I appreciate what you have, what you've done, and the work that we're continuing on with serving God. You know, I like to preach nice messages. I like to talk about good things. I like to keep thinking of the great potentials we have rather than the negative side. Unfortunately, the life isn't that way sometimes. Sometimes we face some very difficult, painful decisions. I think of Jeremiah. In the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, the 7th verse, he said, "O Jehovah, thou hast persuaded me, and I was persuaded. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocketh me. For as often as I speak, I cry out. I cry violence and destruction, because the word of Jehovah has made a reproach unto me, and a derision all the day. And if I say, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, and there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with forbearing, and I cannot contain." I think probably there have been times when all preachers feel that way. He was known as the weeping prophet because of his gloomy things that he had to say, because there was a gloomy problem going on. The nation was falling apart. "For I have heard the defaming of many, terror on every side. Denounce, and we will denounce him, say all my familiar friends. They that watch for my fall. Peradventure he will be persuaded, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But Jehovah is with me as a mighty one and the terrible. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be utterly put to shame, because they have not dealt wisely, even an everlasting dishonor which shall never be forgotten. But Jehovah of hosts, that triest the righteousness, that seest the heart of the mind, and let me see my vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Sing, O Jehovah, praise ye Jehovah, sing unto Jehovah, praise ye Jehovah, for he hath delivered the soul of the needy from the hand of the evildoer." You know, those are tough things sometimes that you have to deal with. But you know, God prevails. He's the one who will back you. He was the one who will uphold you. And whatever he wants, I'm willing to accept. This morning, I want to begin my sermon kind of backwards a little. I want to begin with why this sermon is important. I have a charge God's laid upon me as a minister. In 2 Timothy 4, 1-5, it says, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Preach the word. All of it, by the way. Be urgent. In season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. But watch you in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall have itching ears. You know, I think about that. Sometimes we face that problem. People don't want to hear what God says. They want to hear what they want to hear. And we have to deal with those things as leaders. God gave us a commission. He said concerning the church that obey those who have the rule over you, for they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give account, that you might do this with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Sometimes we have to say things and do things to deal with problems that are extremely painful. But we have no choice. We're going to do what God said. I want you to know that I refuse to be bought, bullied, or blackmailed into deserting that call. In Titus 1:13 it says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Now, if you're Bible-believing people, you believe that. And anyone who doesn't believe that should leave. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, so then, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may be in fear. Now, anyone who doesn't believe that should leave. You know, some people feel they make an issue whenever you preach a sermon and it happens to land in their territory. And they go around and say, oh, I've been preached against. Well, when I preach, I don't try to preach specifically against anybody. I try to preach what the Bible says and let people generally apply it to themselves. However, there is a point. Well, you have to deal with it. And we'll tell you how to keep from being preached at. Don't sin. Don't do the problem. Don't create it. But the Bible says, you know, that anyone who says they have no sin is a liar and the truth is not in them. So when we preach, we're preaching to everybody, including ourselves. We're talking about what God said, and I didn't make it up. The rules are there in this book. I didn't write it. Okay? Secondly, if you don't want to be preached at, don't come here. Go someplace else where they'll, at the Church of the Itching Ears down the street. How to keep others from knowing you got hit. You know, it's kind of amazing. Sometimes there's a story I heard one time about a preacher. He was preaching a sermon and he was really trying to deal with the situation. And so he had to really get pointed. And so he laid down the law and he pounded it home and he just practically went out and named the person. And afterwards, as he was met people at the door, one person came by and they said, why, preacher, you should have come and talked to me first before you made a big issue of it. And the next person came by and they said, preacher, I'm crushed that you'd think, you'd say such a thing about me. And the person that came by, he was really trying to deal with. Came by and said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah. That was a wonderful sermon. You really told them." Don't go around loudly complaining that you have preached that. One preacher used to say, if you throw a rock into the hog pen, the one that squeals is the one that's been hit. How to keep others from knowing you got hit? But Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee from no when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You don't have to run. You don't have to holler if you have kept your own place clean. I'm going to preach a rerun this morning. And I've never done this before. But I'm going to preach the same sermon I preached last time. I'm going to leave out a lot of the nice stuff that's fun, you know, the jokes and the stories and the poems and all those kind of things. This time, I'm going to get down to the issue. I don't want anybody to go out and feel that they have not been hit, and anyone who is guilty of the problems that I'm going to talk about needs to face it and realize they are guilty. I want to say this morning that a wolf has been attacking the flock here. And I preached last time on the general subject, trying to warn people against the problems without getting too personal. But afterwards, there was a whole lot of stuff that was done that was just outrageous. And we need to deal with the wolf. That's my job as a shepherd. A person that's not a member has been contacting our people and slandering the church leaders here. This person has been repeatedly warned and even asked in the signed request by all the leadership to stay away. We've tried to keep this stuff from being a public issue. We've handled these things privately among the leadership for a long time now. But it's come to a point where we have to deal with the problem with everybody so you know what's going on. I'm going to talk about the little member this morning. So let's look at this little member. James 3:5-6 says the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. How many of you have been reading about the fires down in California? One little match, one little spark, and hundreds of acres, houses, people destroyed, people killed. This is where the danger is, because the tongue can destroy badly. And the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We're talking about serious business. It's not something we can play games about. People's souls are at stake. American Heritage Dictionary says that gossip, rumor or talk of a personal, sensational, or intimate nature. Secondly, a person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumor or facts. Thirdly, trivial, chatty talk or writing. That's what it is. Stop and think. We've all done it. We've made mistakes and said things we shouldn't have said and so on. This is gossip when it has damage to it. The key factors in gossip. number one, is it true? Has a person really said something true? Or have it been distorted, twisted, bent, and passed off as somehow having representing some truth, so-called? Was it really intended to bring an idea out that was hurtful, even though the person used some other kind of language to kind of soft-pedal it? Is it true? Will it be painful or unpleasant to someone? Very important. The question of how is this going to hurt? What's the damage that's going to be done? Some people have no concept of the damage that's going to happen. The golden rule applies here. What I like it said about me. You ask that question before you say something. What if somebody said this about me? Is there an overriding need to know? Now people try to say, give some kind of a rational. That's where they usually work on it. Oh, I need to warn somebody. Well, there's a time and a place to warn people, but there's a right way to go about it. And it's wrong anytime it's intended to be malicious and dishonest. Is there an overriding need to know? Two kinds of gossip. One is idle gossip. Now, idle gossip is when the tongue is engaged and the brain isn't. Just telling stuff and open your mouth and let your brains run out. You want to be careful about idle gossip. It's not malicious, but it can be really damaging. And the other is malicious gossip, where somebody intends to hurt somebody or to peddle something that will be destructive. Malicious gossip. And the second, they commonly depends on the first. Because malicious gossips go around and talk to idle gossips and gather information, and they carry it from one person to another. And I wasn't supposed to give this illustration. I'm going to give it. Don discouraged me from it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Like a fly going from dog pile to dog pile and then lighting on your plate. You know why I say, why I'm willing to give that? Because malicious gossip is 100,000 times worse. I'd rather have a fly than a gossip any day. It's hideous. It's ugly. It's hard. And the person who does it ought to feel completely, I think they do, feel ugly about what they've said and done. And they ought to go back and apologize to the people that said it. Idle gossip? Let's look at it. Proximity 5:13 talks about the younger widows. Paul advised the younger widows to marry. And because, he says, with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not idle, but tatters also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Soak that a little bit. And then put it into a situation where somebody who has a series of failures, marriage failures, and other kinds of problems, and that they are picking something up because they want to hurt somebody. That's terrible. Tattlers, going about from house to house. They don't have a house that they actually have been successful in, so they go to other people's houses and carry stuff. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets. He that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Some people think it's their privilege in life to go and tell whatever they get. You know, maybe like a chicken that finds a worm. And they have to carry this around and spread it from one person to another. A person who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. They may hear stuff, but they don't handle it. They keep it to themselves. They try to solve the problem. If there needs to be a solution, they can go and get help, things like that. But they're not, they'll get stuff. Some people go around and search for matters. For 40 years ago, try to pick out something so that they'll have something to peddle to somebody. It makes them important. This is their only importance in life. Dead works of the past should not be dragged into the present. I don't believe in when somebody has done something wrong, and made a mistake in their life, of keeping that stuff peddled to other people. That's right. They call me, they accuse me of covering up. Yep, I'm willing to cover things up when people have repented. But when people are maliciously doing something, then there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about bringing them back and holding them accountable for what they did. You need to think about that. Dead works of the past should be left dead. Things that hurt people who have been injured before. Sometimes people bring stuff up, drag it out, and people who have been hurt before have to go through it again by having to retell the story and explain the situation and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes that may be necessary if you're going to court about something, but that is wicked. To re-injure people over and over and over again. Things that are harmful to others. People who just bring stuff up and carelessly and irresponsibly and maliciously distort and use that stuff on other people. It's wicked. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. People need to get their minds off of the garbage, searching around and digging in the garbage and bringing it up, and oh, look what I found. And they need to stick with the good things, and how many we can develop spiritual, strong, loving, caring people. That doesn't do it. Malicious gossip. I said there was just idle gossip. Malicious gossip is far more serious. Proverbs 16 through 19 says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look. Some people go around, you know, I'm an accomplished person. Look at my abilities and so on. And they try to lift themselves above others, even if they have to kick other people down. And they hate any leader because they got to knock them down so they can get on top. A lying tongue. People who lie about people and lie about things. Terrible. Hands that shed innocent blood. You know, you can just emaciate people with lies and hate. Horrible. and heart that devises wicked imaginations. Some people just can figure out every kind of evil, wicked thing and put a turn on it. A feet that's swift to run unto mischief. Some people are, they're always, wherever there's dirt, wherever there's a problem, they've got to be there, and then they're off with the latest. A false witness that speaks lies. False, distorted things about others. And he that sows discord among the brethren. All it takes is one person to come into a church and start doing this kind of stuff, and it causes huge problems. And that's why we're so slow to say anything, because we care about people. You know, Jesus talked about the shepherds that were serving for money, and he said, when the wolf comes, they run. Well, you need to think about that. He that sows discord among the brethren, we as leaders have a responsibility before God. We can't run. We have to protect the flock, and we care about the flock. But other people can come in here, and when it gets too hot for them, they can leave. They can go someplace else. Nothing lost, you see. Methods of malicious gossip. Proverbs 26, 21 through 26. I didn't write this stuff. This is in the Bible. As coals are burning coals and wood to the fire, so is a contentious person to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And we got people from this last situation. We got people who are literally physically sick because of it. Some people even potentially imperiling their lives. Just get out of the hospital and some person calls them with a bunch of false accusations about other people. Or calls the wife of somebody and gets them all upset and telling them false stuff. They go down like wounds into the innermost parts. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. In other words, they look good on the outside, but actually inside they're filled with malice, hate, ungodliness, dishonesty. Proverbs 16:27 says, an ungodly person digs up evil, and in their lips there is a burning fire. It's ungodly to go and dig up stuff on people and try 40 years ago and try to smear people because of it. Believe me, I can deal with those things myself, but it hurts me when it is hurting others. Malicious gossips go from person to person, gathering stuff, distorting it, and passing it on to others. They view themselves as having the right to tell anything to anyone, anywhere, any place, any time, no matter what damage it causes. Malicious gossips cause great damage, therefore. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person sows discord or sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. How sad that is. They will go from one person to another and try to pit people against people. Fortunately, our leadership is very strong. And what we do when somebody does this, we just send all the information that they sent us about them to them. And we just trade it all so everyone knows exactly what's going on. Otherwise, they will go around and they'll pit person against another, each other, and create suspicion. They'll get away with it with us. creates conflict, anger, and confusion. Damages the church and the harmony and relationship between people. I'm telling you something here that's terrible, that's wicked, and I know it's upsetting, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to face it. This is what's going on. Malicious gossips have no regard for the truth. They distort the facts and spread lies like flies, contaminating everything they touch. All of us leaders have been slandered falsely. Every one of us, going from person to person, slandering us and trying to create problems for us. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. This is what Jesus said. Hey, look, Jesus is a nice, sweet Jesus. He'd never say anything of being unkind. He would never say anything like that. He said, you're of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. You have your father, the devil. It's a family problem. Revelation 12:9 says, calls him the accuser of the brethren. The devil sends his missionaries to accuse the brethren. That's his job. Who is going to be his mouthpiece? Revelation 9:6 calls him Abaddon. He's Abaddon, all right. And Apollyon, which means destroyer. He destroys. He can walk away. It doesn't matter what mess he's left. And he sends people to do that. Malicious gossips expect a double standard. When you think about this, they get to go around to anyone they please and say anything they please about anyone they please, but no one is to report their behavior or warn people about what they're doing. Oh, you're slandering me. Oh, you know, the accusation then goes that the person is trying to have to deal with cleaning up the garbage that they left behind. Don't, you know, that's what the wolf says. Wolf says, I'm just a little I'm just a little sheep. I got sheep's clothing on. I look good. Oh. And don't touch me, you shepherds. Stay away from me. Titus 1:9-13 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That's what we try to do. For there are many unruly. They won't be ruled. They say, I'm not going to listen to any committee of men. And vain talkers, false, phony talkers, and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That behavior is ungodly. Whose mouths must be stopped, comes to a point that somebody has to say something. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, or to gain position to be somebody important, so they can have somebody following them. Malicious gossipers are sneaky. They're so underhanded. And they go around privately. Nobody's ever supposed to say anything. If you say anything, then you're a tattler. Don't you people ever tell on anybody like that, because you're a tattler. I got it right in black and white. They go secretly with gifts. They offer to help. They inquire about your health. They hug you. They kiss you. They give compliments. And sometimes even offer money. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." But, you know, like in Little Red Riding Hood, when you cross them, my, what big teeth you have, Grandma. Beware. 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." They can put on those sheep's clothing and look pretty good for a while. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also." One person wanted me to ordain her as a evangelist. And when I said no, she had a fit. I was oppressing women and all kinds of stuff. Well, she wants to be a minister, I guess. But she's transformed into a minister of righteousness. The Bible says her end is going to be according to her works. Beware of confiding to a gossip. Believe me, these people are not your friends. They are not your friends. No friend will treat you that way. Because if they go around and talk about other people, if they talk to you, they'll go around and talk about other people about you. If they talk about other people, just beware. You better know what you're dealing with. Be very careful to whom you confide sensitive information about yourself or others. Some people use it. They go and try to use it as a club to bash other people and to put them down. And once you've given that information out, your personal information, it's no longer yours. So you better be sure what you're dealing with when you tell somebody your innermost things. Beware of churches or groups that encourage you to give out sensitive information. Some people, in order to get some following, be able to control some people, they start groups with the purpose of getting people under their control. They get to be the important person now who runs these people's lives. Pull them away from the church, suck them into some group, and then they use them for their own purposes of trying to bash others or whatever. Their information is no longer private. It's now being used. You might as well just give out your bank card, a note number. If you feel comfortable in doing that, well, then you should join an organization like that. Here is our standards for support groups. I want to say, I'm not against having groups. I'm not against women. I'm not against women's groups. I encourage it. We always have. But we are also very careful about people who want to start a group, because we know some people who have done this other places, and they have actually destroyed people in those situations. Huge problems. And we're warning you, we don't want it here. Under the oversight of the church leadership, that's our standard. It has to be under the oversight of God's leadership, like the Bible said to do. It needs to be led by spiritually qualified people. People who are spiritually qualified, not some outside organization, not some person who is improperly qualified, has no credentials. And it needs to be participated in by people seeking genuine spiritual growth. That's what we always shoot for, those three things. Now let's take those up. Under the oversight of the church leadership, 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." And it says in Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, as submit yourselves for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Sometimes, you know, it's not fun to be a leader, because you have to make tough decisions, because you care about the people of the church. You care about the little children and the lambs of God that are going to be slaughtered by some wolf that comes in. And it's a tough decision to make sometimes. We struggle. You don't know how many hours we struggle sometimes in dealing with something like this. That's our job. It has to be done. They need to be led by spiritually qualified people. Not someone with a history of conflicts with leaders in churches and other places. Not someone who is rebellion against our church leadership. Not someone with repeated marriage failures and problems. What have they got to say to you? You want to listen to failure? Not someone who goes around digging up dirt on people and spreading it to others. Not someone who uses stuff they dig up as blackmail to get their way. Not someone who distorts the truth and bears false witness. Not someone who, when they don't get their way, launches into a hate campaign. Not someone who seeks to make themselves important by attacking others. Not someone who is irrational, who charges that the church leaders want to beat them and physically and to kill them publicly. We've had that charge made. It needs to be participated in by people seeking genuine spiritual growth. So some people we exclude from those situations. Not people who are in rebellion against God's will. Not people who reject the older side of the church. Not people who come to wallow in their bad behavior. Let them stay home and do that. Not people who want to dredge up evil and gossip about other people's problems. These groups are not there for the purpose of sharing all the trash that people have done in the past. Malicious gossips thrive on loose tongues and gossipy ears. Proverbs 26:20 says, where there is no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. I like to have no strife. I like to have people thinking about good things, how they can grow better and solve problems rather than being a part of the problem. Secrecy, the refuge of gossips. John 3:19-21 says, and this is the commendation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither does comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's a real serious problem with gossips. They have to keep it hid. And so when they talk to you, don't tell. You will. You will be a tattler. A tattler. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Malicious gossips expose themselves. Strangely, they do. They are very quickly seen. Because they're so eager to share the dirt that they dug up that they just have to let us know. They write us letters and say, oh, look at the problems, and so on. They write to let us know about it, what they have found. Last week, a certain person, called my daughter Carol in Eastern Washington to try to get some dirt. She didn't get any. She called and said, Dad, do you know who called me? And I said, yeah, I know. And I was right. It drives them crazy when we will not listen to their garbage. They send us emails. They go into a frenzy, calling repeatedly, calling our friends and sending messages to them and just harassing us. Even coming to the door, stick her foot in the door, and insisted she gets to come in after 11 o'clock at night to someone who wasn't even married. What kind of a dynamite she could use that one for? We also hear about their activities from others who they have contacted. Then the gossip accuses them of paddling on them. I've got it right on the things that are written to me and to others. Malicious gossips love to play the martyr card. Now here's where they really get into their best performances. Baby! I'm being picked on. A bunch of abusive men are ganging up on a poor defenseless woman. Believe me, we need a bunch of men to protect ourselves. What should be expected when the wolf is harming the lambs? Now, what are we supposed to do? Sit over there and watch the person going from person to person and digging up garbage and spreading it to other people? Are we supposed to? Is that the kind of preacher you want us to be? Is that the kind of leadership you want in this church? You want us to just sit back and let it all? Oh, I'm not that way. I spent my life trying to start our starting churches and trying to help people, and I'm not going to sit by and watch somebody tear people apart. In response to the gossip, the question of accuracy and reliability of the assertion.